of who we belong to. And if you look on the date sheets, you know, we say as a church, we want to look on the face of Christ. We want to love everyone we meet. And we want to live like heaven is near. You know, but the thing is, usually when we say heaven, we're thinking up there, right there in the sky. And, well, that's true in a sense. But in another sense, it isn't. That's not the whole of it. You know, so we as children of God, we have this amazing privilege. It's amazing that we belong to God's kingdom. And so we'll just be focusing on that today. And, you know, the key words, as I was just thinking about this yesterday and letting the Spirit prepare me, the key words will be kingdom and nature. You know, so the kingdom is, you know, typically a fusion of two words, king and domain. So that's a king's domain, where a king has authority, where he rules, where he's in charge. So it will be wrong. It will be delusional to say you have a king who hasn't got a domain. That would be a fraud. You know, people call themselves all sorts of names, but if you have a king who hasn't got a domain, place where he rules, then he's not a king, actually. And then nature is not, I mean, it was, well, it's beautiful weather today, but it was really lovely yesterday. And Gia and I, we just walked out to the park, just behind our house. We just walked around because it was lovely. So when I say nature, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the vegetation, the beautiful scenery and all that. I'm talking about the thing that makes someone who he is, or the thing that makes somebody what he is, you know, your inherent characters, your inherent abilities. And, you know, kingdoms in science, well, I studied a lot of science in school, so maybe my examples would be scientific, but I'll try to simplify them. In science, you've got the plant kingdom, you've got the animal kingdom, you've got, you know, all sorts of kingdoms. And each kingdom will differ from the other because of the way, you know, the constituent, well, the members or the things who belong to these kingdoms, because of the things they do, the way they act, the way they live, you know. And so let's put it this way, kingdom and nature go together. You can't have a kingdom without being able to define the nature of the people who are in this, who belong to this kingdom. So the Bible says in Mark chapter 1 verse 15, and I would encourage us to, if we can, just follow in our Bibles. I think Noelia is doing fancy IT things today as well, so she's putting up on the on the projector. But in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says Jesus came after he had been baptized, and after he had, you know, the Holy Spirit had come upon him, and he'd gone into the wilderness to be tempted, and came back, and he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Now, in the more traditional text, it says something like, the time is fulfilled, or the time has come and the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, repent and believe the gospel. Now, the thing is, I was looking that up, and, you know, in the ancient practice, you know, if a noble person is having a big lavish party and is invited a lot of people, and they would have doormen, whatever they call them, whatever name, you know, doormen, stewards, people like that, and they would just be there outside waiting to welcome the guests in. And usually when a new guest arrives, they're just going to announce from wherever they're standing, Flavia is at hand, you know, something like that, just signifying to the gathering that, you know, this guest has come in. So Jesus says that the kingdom of God is at hand. And that means the kingdom of, not that it is somewhere we are waiting for it to come. He was saying that the kingdom of God is within reach, is now just for you to reach out and grab, is now right here. The kingdom of God is at hand. So that's one of our two keywords. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then it says, repent and believe in the good news, or believe in the gospel. Now, repentance itself, we usually use that word maybe just casually, but to repent is to actually change the way you live, to change your lifestyle. So it's not just about saying, oh, sorry, Jay, I've hurt you. I'm sorry. That's one, that's the start. But it then means that from that point forward where I have said sorry, I turn around. It's to have a change of heart, literally. And Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is within reach, is here for you to experience, but you need a change of heart. You need to change the way you think and the way you act. You need to change the way you live to experience this kingdom. And then he said, repent and believe the good news. So he's brought the Jesus saying to us that the kingdom of God is at hand is good news, isn't it? It is good news. And that is what he wants us to carry on today. You know, the good news of the kingdom. And you know, a lot of times maybe we get just taken up by work, taken up by nasty neighbors maybe, and things like that. But whatever we do, by our nature as citizens of God's kingdom, that it should be good news. Whatever we do should flow out of the fact that we ourselves have experienced good news. And then we are letting that good news from inside of us just move out to the people around us. So Jesus introduces God's kingdom in this fantastic way. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. And then if Jesus was saying repent to them back then, it means they were actually living in a way that needed repentance. But a lot of people were really religious. You know, he was probably talking to teachers of the law and Pharisees and things like that. So maybe a lot of people were actually religious. Maybe they observed all the things that, you know, the Old Testament said people should observe as, you know, as out of respect for God, you know. But he wasn't bringing religion. That's not what Jesus brought. And in fact, when he was speaking to these people and he said, the kingdom of God is at hand, you know, Israel at the time were more or less colonized. You know, they had the Roman army occupying their land. So Jesus says, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. They were thinking of the kind of kingdom that would, you know, rise up with an army, military force, blow up the Roman army, and set up another government of the people, by the people. But Jesus was not talking about the kind of kingdom that is instituted by guns and, you know, military superiority and things like that. He was talking about something higher. He was talking about something above what human beings were. They were grappling with the fact that they thought they were being oppressed, you know, by the Roman occupiers. And for them, that was the important thing. But Jesus comes, says, I'm bringing the kingdom of God to you. And obviously they will be thinking, oh, it means we're going to be liberated from this Roman Empire or from this Roman occupation. And the truth is, Jesus had brought something higher because they needed some other kind of liberation. And for every person who experiences the love of God, we also need some higher kind of liberation, you know. And then when we allow that to rule, you know, live like heaven is near, when we live under that consciousness, it filters down from above into whatever form of thing we think is an occupation for, you know, oppression for us right now. Now, going back to my science background, there's a law called the law of gravity, and it says that whatever goes up must come down. So it doesn't matter if you jump from top of this hole, if this hole is in the North Pole and you jump, you're going to come down. That's the law of gravity. If you go to deep down in Cape Town, South Africa, towards the South Pole, and you do the same thing, it's still applicable. But there is also another law in science that they call the law of aerodynamics. Oh! Of aerodynamics. And it says that a fixed winged object with certain dimensions will float in air. So you see the big Boeing 737 jets or the Airbus 380s, as big as they are, as huge as they are, and they fly. So the law of aerodynamics for them supersedes the law of gravity. Now Jesus comes and says to the people who were being oppressed by the Roman Empire, and he says to them, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is here. And for them, they thought, fantastic. We're going to get rid of this, you know, this wicked people. But Jesus was saying to them, if you receive the kingdom, if you receive the good news of the gospel, well, the Roman army probably won't even leave, but you will know yourself that you are no longer under oppression. So for us today, he's saying, the offer is still available, you know, the good news. And, you know, we received it. But there is liberation. You can't, like I said earlier, a kingdom differs from another because of the nature of the people. Let's use people as an example. Nature of the people who live in this, who belong to this kingdom. You know a kingdom by its people, you know. I mean, I lived in Sweden for about 2 years, and you know, the Nordic people, the Scandinavians, they have tall, you can tell after a while, if you've seen them with other Europeans, you can tell that this person is Scandinavian. They have distinct features. We Africans, you can tell, you know, easily. Are we neither Nordic nor Scandinavian? No. You know, you can tell. Now, a kingdom has to be identifiable when you look at the people who belong to this kingdom. The nature, that's the nature part of the message today. And when God, from the beginning, you know, when God made man, he was saying when he was going to create man, let us make man in our image, you know, back to Genesis 1, and we're going to make him after our likeness, and we'll give them dominion over, you know, everything, over the fish, the birds, and over all the earth and everything. And then the next chapter, when he actually formed man, you know, scripture says in Genesis 2:7 that he formed man from the dust of the earth, but he was just there. And then he did a very remarkable thing. It says that God expelled breath into his nostrils. And then that man he formed became a living being. So it means that the man he formed from the dust, or what God formed from the dust, didn't have life in him until God did that breathing into his nostrils. So today, the thing is, a lot of us know this, some of us do, some of us don't, but you are a spiritual being and you're having a natural experience. It's not the other way around. So you are a spirit who have a body, or you're a spirit living in a body who has a soul. That's why when someone dies, we say they're going to place his remains somewhere. And if you give it time, and in the right condition, those remains will just become part of the soil wherever he's been put. You know, so we are a spirit being, or we are spirit beings. We live in bodies and we have a soul. We are not physical or natural beings who just happen to have spirits. And that's very key. We are spirit beings and we live in bodies. And we have a soul. We're not bodies who just happen to have spirits. And every time God is saying something to us, he's actually addressing our spirit beings. Because in actual fact, our bodies cannot really contact God. Jesus says to a woman that he meets, you would think it happened chance, but he was sitting by a well and this woman turns up to fetch water. John chapter 4. And he says to her, can I have something to drink? And, you know, they just struck a conversation from that point. And sometime down that chapter, Jesus says, God is a spirit. And those who worship him, those who relate with him, those who love him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the truth of the matter is, we just had a fantastic time of worship and we're jumping and singing and doing all that. Our bodies were doing it. But in actual fact, people go to Lady Gaga concert and sing and jump and shout like that. Their bodies do that. But we doing here today, Kelly, you know, singing and Paul, and they were singing about joy and gladness, and you could tell that rising up within you. You know, that is your spirit, the spirit being in you contacting God. And so you, the spiritual being, you just happen to be here having a natural experience. You're not a natural being having a spiritual experience. So God says something really fantastic about his kingdom and who gets in and who doesn't. You know, he made it very open. He says he loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will have life and not perish. But in John chapter 1 verses 11 to 13, Gospel according to John chapter 1 verses 11 to 13, it says that, this is referring to Jesus. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. The next verse says, but to all who did receive him. So Jesus comes saying, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. And it says some didn't receive him. But it says that for those who received him, this is what happened to them. He gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believe in his name. He gave them a right to be children of God. So the kingdom of God is unique in the sense that all the citizens are children of the king. Do we understand that? This is the unique thing about the kingdom of God. I mean, if you say kingdom, you know, things come to your mind like monarchy, government, sovereignty. And you know, the monarchy is a concept that is well understood in the United Kingdom. We have, you know, the Queen Elizabeth II. And so we all can easily relate with our concept of monarchy, of a kingdom. You know, like I said, there shouldn't be a king who hasn't got a domain. And there shouldn't be a domain without a king, actually. So now we know that we are, you know, citizens of the United Kingdom, for example, but we are not all children of Queen Elizabeth. You know, we love her. We, you know, we like the institution. But we don't, we won't actually say. So, the unique thing about the kingdom that Jesus brought is that everyone who receives it becomes a child of that king. And he's not asking you to do a whole lot of gymnastics again. He just says, repent. Change the way you think, change the way you live, and receive the good news. And the good news is that you can become a child of the king. And so for us who have become the child of the king, we're so excited. But there is so much more than just becoming the child of the king. We should then grow in the nature. You know, so kingdom we've entered into, the nature, the image of God. That should grow in us. And the next, the 13th verse of John chapter 1 says that those who received him and believed in his name, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh, of the will of man, but of God. So we receive the good news, repent, and in the eyes of God, we are born of God. We are born of God. And you know, there was this guy who came to Jesus in another chapter in John, the third chapter, and was saying to him how, you know, well, Nicodemus, anyway, having a conversation, just said, you can't see the kingdom of God if you are not born again. But then he goes on to say that whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the spirit is spirit. So spirit will give us a spirit. And if an animal has another, if a horse gives birth to a dog, for example, we'll say it's a freak of nature. Because it's not true to type. So God says to us that you are born of God. The spirit gives birth to spirit. And it's so interesting because that's the way God looks at us. Like I said, He's relating to our spirits. And the nature, when we say when I'm saying nature, I'm talking about the nature of God inside us. As children of God who belong to His kingdom, what He wants, the life He wants us to live. You know, and so we are children of God belonging to a kingdom, and we said living like heaven is near, but we are not in that heaven up there. We are right here on earth, which means that wherever we are, the kingdom of God is there. Amen. Wherever we are, the kingdom of God is there. It's not about us being in Westgate School or Desborough on a Sunday morning. Wherever we are, the kingdom of God is there. And I can just stop in front of Tesco and just say, God, I love you. You know, or I can just be on the streets walking and just be talking to Him. Right there, the kingdom of God is there. And you know, in international relations, in diplomacy, you would have an ambassador representing a government in a foreign country. And whatever the ambassador says, the press would actually report it as saying, for example, if the US ambassador to the UK says something, whatever he says, the next day on Sky News will say the American government, isn't that what they do? They're going to say the American government has said this and that. But it was only one man from a country of 300, 400 million people living in another land who has said something. And they have said that his government said it. You know, because by the training of the diplomats, of the ambassadors, they are expected to weigh their words, to not speak out of line. You shouldn't go on and have your own policy. It's not diplomatic. You shouldn't go and start doing things that are not ambassadorial, you know. And in fact, by the very nature of things, once they are in the compound, if it's a high commission or an embassy, it's taken as that land that they have come from. So the police of the host country, for example, cannot go into that embassy building to arrest somebody. That's the way it works in international law. You know, they can't go into that embassy to arrest someone, even if he has committed a crime. And we are God's ambassadors here. This is where I'm coming. When we say live like heaven is near. So we are here at work, in school, driving down the M4. Driving down the M4. You know, I'm sitting on the train going to work. Wherever we are, the kingdom of God is there. And as people representing that kingdom, we should be known to abide by the policy. So we shouldn't be saying things that we don't want Sky News to report and will embarrass our government. If you get what I mean. We shouldn't be saying things or doing things that when it comes into the news is going to be an embarrassment to the government. You know, so this is the nature of the person who belongs to the kingdom of God. That we recognize that even though we are living in an earth suit, this body, the real us inside is communicating to God. and everything we say and speak, you know, our lifestyle. Jesus says, repent and believe the good news. Change the way you live. Change the way you think. Change the way you act. And believe. Trust in the good news that I have brought. So, that is this nature part. And it says, we're going to read through Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. And you know, I mean, I've said this, that we are spiritual beings having natural experience, having a natural experience. And it does mean, I mean, it doesn't mean that you get saved and you just start gliding on air, you know, just, or you just get taken up into heaven like Enoch. We are left here to actually influence this world. You know, but the truth is, and maybe it's a little bit challenging when we try to do it by ourselves, forgetting that we are spiritual beings just having natural experiences. The truth is, the world itself is trying to influence you. So, in Romans 12:1, Paul is saying to Christians, born again, saved people, he's writing to a church. This is a letter he's written to a church. So, it's like Colin writing to the Slough Church. And then, I'm standing up to read it to us on a Sunday morning. So, Romans 12, and in verse 1, it says, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. And then in the next verse, it says, do not be conformed to this age or to this world, in another translation, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So he's writing to saved Christians, believing Christians, but he's saying to them, do not be conformed to this world, saying you're living in a world, but be careful not to begin to fall into the pattern of the world. Be careful not to begin to think like the world thinks. Because you becoming a citizen of God's kingdom in the first place was that you changed the way you think and you changed the way you act. And he's now saying, remember, be careful that you do not conform to the world. Because the world, there's a kingdom. I mean, if Jesus was saying the kingdom of God is at hand, it means they were somewhere, wherever they were, it wasn't the kingdom of God. So he has brought us the good news, brought us into the kingdom of God. And he says, just remember, do not be conformed. Because when we got saved, you know, this is what the Bible says, that we become new creations. That's what he says in 2 Corinthians 5, that when a man is in Christ, when a woman is in Christ, he becomes a new person. But, I mean, Florence got saved at a very early age, but people who knew her then, who knew her before then and now, they will know it's the same Florence. So when he's saying you become a new person, doesn't mean that, you know, I become Caucasian, for example. Or I'm still me, because this is just a body, but the person inside is the one God relates to. Like we've said, the spirit being in you. That's the person who becomes a new person. And we still have our bodies, still the same body, you know, still the same body. Like someone was saying, just, you know, jokingly, that if you had your teeth in whatever way before you got saved, still going to be the same thing after you get saved, you know. But the person inside becomes a new person. So you have this, your mind, your soul, where you have your mind, your emotions, your will. And Paul is saying, do not be conformed to this world, because we have lived in another system, if I can use that word, a kingdom where things are done in certain ways. We tend to just slip into that mode. when something comes up. So I say to Jay, usually from time to time when we are home, that there's a difference between fact and truth. All right? The fact is what we see. The truth we may not see, but it doesn't mean it's not true. For example, the Bible says that God loved the world so much he gave Jesus to die for whosoever, and that means me, that means you, that means the man on the street who is having a hangover from a long night in the club yesterday. And that means anybody, everybody, everywhere. But not, so that's the truth, isn't it? But the fact is that not everybody is saved. Not everybody has received it. You know, so Paul is saying to these guys in the church in Rome, that do not be conformed to the thinking of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A few years ago, I did a study on Romans 12, and you know, it says the word that it translated into transform from the original tongue is the same word from which we get metamorphosis. Yeah. All right? And in, you know, again, science again, sorry. And in metamorphosis, according to science, you know, an egg becomes a larva, something like that, and the larva becomes a pupa, and that becomes a butterfly. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So he's saying, gradually, your nature should move from being the egg, the seed of the word of God that was sown in you, that you received when you came to the kingdom of God. And you should gradually just move progressively through that. And ensure that you're not thinking like you used to before you got into the kingdom. You know? And the Bible is just so full of God's truth, you know, full of God's truth that he's spoken to you, to me, to every one of us for different times, different situations, just about anything you can think of. The truth in the Word of God remains the same. It remains the same. And, you know, talking as a church about living like heaven is near, I believe in a part means that something about us should appeal to people, should attract people into God's kingdom. Something about you should just let people say, you're a different man. What happened to you? You know, you've got it going for you. What happened to you? It could be the way you smile. Simple as that. It could be the fact that, you know, everyone is flustered at work. You're just calm. You're just reserved. Something about you should attract people. A kingdom would only be as attractive as the citizens, as the people. That there's no one, let me think of a country in strife, Somalia. There's no one who would really, really plan his summer holiday, her summer holiday, and say, oh, I'm going to take a trip to Somalia. Or in fact, I'm relocating, I'm moving my business to Somalia. A country can only be as attractive as its people. So there should be something, if we are living like heaven is near, something about us should magnetize people to Jesus. Wherever we are, we should be able to carry it around beyond our Sunday morning experience. We should be able to carry that fragrance. You are just a different person. And I'm going to close with a few verses. Noelle, if you could put up Isaiah 55:10-11. I'm just going to close with a few verses and then we'll pray. Isaiah 55:10-11, like I said, the Bible is full of God's truth. So whatever lifestyles, whatever it is about what we're experiencing today that is different from what is written in the Bible may be a fact. but it is not the truth. So if we are struggling with whatever burden, could be a habit, could be pain, physical or emotional, could be the fear of what will happen. And actually, as I was preparing this yesterday, I felt the Spirit of God was saying that we should just let go of so many things we are fearful of. So many things we are fearful of. Whatever it is, it may be a fact, but it is not the truth. Isaiah 55:10 says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Next verse says, so is my word. This is God speaking, by the way. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. One translation says it will not return to me without result. So if God has spoken it, he didn't speak it for the sake of speaking it. He spoke it because there should be a result to that word. But will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Amen. So he's saying that if he's spoken, and I mean, I think it was Christmas service, Kerry was speaking about prophecies. Some things have been spoken over some of us for years, really. For years. Maybe some just as recently as this morning or during the week. Whatever it is, as long as it is the word of God, he's saying that it will not return to him without result. But it will accomplish what he desires and achieve the purpose for which he sent it. So, for example, where he has said that Jesus Christ himself took our sins and bare our sickness in his own body in 2 Peter 2. And he says, by his stripes we were healed. It doesn't matter if I have what we call a nagging headache. That may be a fact, but the truth is that by the stripes of Christ, I have been healed. And as the representative of God's kingdom on earth, I won't go around saying, I'm just done for. This headache is just going to finish me. Because that is not what, that would be against the policy of the government that I represent. That would be against the policy of the government that I represent. Hebrews 11:13, please. Thanks, Noelia. Hebrews 11:13 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. And you know, when Colin came up during the worship and was talking about letting go and letting the love of God just fill our hearts, and I just thought, oh, if I had told him how I was going to finish this up, maybe I would say he knew a little. But he says that we know by faith that the universe was formed at God's command or at God's word, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So we live in a physical world where we touch things with our senses. See, we smell, we hear, we taste, we feel. But that's not how the kingdom of God operates. It operates, the Bible says that what we see right now, God didn't make them out of things that were visible. So he just started off one day and looked at a formless, shapeless, lightless, if you can use the word, hopeless mass, and began to speak and said, let there be light. And light came and said, let there be the land, let there be that, let there be that. So we, by nature, people belonging to God's kingdom, the Bible says in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we do not walk, or we do not live by senses, by sight. Now, all right, it says, we do not walk by sight, we walk by faith. Or in another word, he's saying we don't live by our senses. So when he says we do not walk by sight, it means we don't operate by how we feel, what we hear, what we see, what with tastes and things like that. We walk by faith. We live by faith. So your nature as a child of God is to know the truth of the word of God. Whatever it is that is written in the book, find it. That's the truth. And speak it over the facts that you may see. Okay? The promise of God is stronger than anything. The promise of God is stronger than anything. So, if you find the truth, speak it, even if the fact does not, in fact, even if the fact is contradictory, if it doesn't agree, speak the truth of the word of God. That's your nature. That's us growing into the image of God. And you will begin to see, like he says in the portion we read from Isaiah, you begin to see results. And this is where we start attracting people, because they can tell that it is good. Whatever it is you're doing is working for you. And we can start attracting them to the kingdom of God. I mean, it's not so much about what we say to people a lot of times. We do have to speak to them. That's I'm not trivializing that. But it's not so much about what we say to them. It is something about what they see us do. They are not probably even giving you a chance to rehearse and, you know, think of a Bible verse to quote or something like that. They just come up to you. It's what they see you do, how they see you live your everyday life that matters. And then we begin to attract them to the kingdom of God. So your nature is your the spirit being that God created. And you belong to the kingdom of God. You're representing God wherever you are. And the truth of his word is stronger and is superior to the fact that you may be seeing. It doesn't, even if it's been there for years. We're just going to pray now. And like I said, I just believe God wants to address fear. You know, you're fearful of maybe trusting God. You're fearful of believing that what has been spoken is true. Or you're fearful of living in your regenerated nature. Or you're fearful that something is just not going to work, whatever it is. I just want you to, for a moment, just think about it now. Whatever it is. God, this morning, is going to break the power of fear, the hold of fear. Because he says that he has not given to us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. So he's going to release his love, and he's going to release his power, and he's going to release soundness of mind. Just think for a minute. Whatever it is that you know, it is so gripping. It is so gripping. Whatever you think of, or whenever you think of it, you just seem like, just think of it for a minute and know that the truth of who you are as a citizen of God's kingdom is stronger than the facts.